Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. That was just a little bit of Silent Night. And if you check out the video on Brulé's website at brulerecords.com, you can watch the entire video as the Christmas favorite beautifully melds into Amazing Grace. One of the most exciting holiday concerts is coming to the historic Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls, December 21st and 22nd, as Brulé presents their full theatrical holiday show with dancers. Brulé is known for thrilling audiences with a blend of cultural rock and theatrical instrumentation and the emotional impact of the American Indian culture. Joining us in SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls is Brulé founder and producer Paul LaRoche. Paul, it is a pleasure to have you here in the studio with us. Thanks for stopping by.
Good morning, Lori, and thank you as always for having us in. You've been good friends and supporters of us all these years.
And you have done so much for South Dakota Public Broadcasting as well. We'll talk a little bit about that sort of connection, I think, in a few minutes. But first, I want to bring in, we were talking before we turned on the microphones about getting your start in the 90s. And for people who, you know, the younger generation who maybe doesn't, like, I've heard of Brulé, I know something about this, but I haven't been yet. How do you explain this production? How do you explain this group?
Well, I like to start with the core, and which is the story. And the story, our story of reunion has become the storyline for the performance. And the short version really goes like this. A young child was born into the Native American culture, but removed at birth. Raised by non-Native parents and never told of his biological heritage because in America's early days it was still taboo to share that information. Years passed, a young boy grew up, and after the loss of both parents at midlife, he was able to find his origins and his roots, and he was reunited with his biological family and came back to the reservation. And in that reunion came the mission for that individual and the group, which is reconciliation. Mm. So the Brulé journey really started on that year of that reunion, which was 1993. And from 1993 until today, things haven't slowed down a bit. I like to say that a lot of what we do is working on the healing process. I'm a product of two worlds, as you can see now, and I'm a son of two mothers. And I was able and was given a love, an equal amount of love for both. So in that gift came that desire to want to bring those two cultures a little closer together. And out of that came the music, the stories, the whole thing.
Tell me a little bit about how you realized there was a musical connection between your family of birth and that connection had meaning to you in surprising ways.
Well, there was a profound moment in the year 1994. I was attending my first powwow. This happened to be on the Lower Brule Sioux Reservation in central South Dakota. This was just 6 months after our first reunion, which was Thanksgiving of 1993. And so while sitting there, watching the spectacle, this beautiful performance, the first one, by the way, for myself, as I listened to that music, I was able to, in my head, hear the sound and songs that I grew up with. But yet I was listening and watching this very tribal, traditional, time-tested performance. And so there was a split second where I heard the two sounds come together. Mm. And really, I think it's been 25 years of trying to harvest that sound and playing with the different combinations of sounds and music from these two worlds. And that's really the music of Brulé.
Did you have doubts at any point? I mean, what have been some of the challenges in, you know, we talk, well, you know, reconciliation in of itself is such a big, but for a personal sense, you had to have a personal journey that you went on to sort of figure out who you were as an individual and who you want to be.
Sure. That's a good question. And actually, I've been, I would say, and I say this in the most delicate, but I say it in a good way. We've been kind of under the microscope all these years from within the culture. In other words, there is a respect factor that one always needs to be aware of within the culture when you're using their traditional sounds and music especially. Right. Many of the songs are very spiritual within the culture. Some are social, but coming back after 45 years of being removed, I was still learning from scratch. I was just like an infant in my education of the culture. So if I took a piece of music from within the culture, I always wanted to make sure that it wasn't something that was inappropriate to be used in the social environment and on a public performance stage. Right. So, you know, I just learned to ask. I learned to ask and talk to the elders. We've been careful, and it's worked for us 99% of the times. We slipped up a few times and used maybe something that wasn't quite right, but the elders always helped us along with that. And even our instrumentation on stage, we'll use a traditional Native American drum. And that is a unfamiliar setting for that instrument. It also is primarily spiritual, but it can be used socially if you use it a certain way. And so we just learned as we went, a little by little. But those are things that most people wouldn't think about, most musical artists wouldn't think of, and the public has no idea that those things are always going on behind the scenes. So just a few of the little challenges that we always face even to this day.
Tell me a little bit about your journeys overseas, because you've returned from Saudi Arabia, and what was that? How did that even come about? And how did the group, your family really process that journey?
Well, first of all, it was an invitation. Saudi Arabia is an invitation-only country yet at this point. So this was an event that was arranged between the U.S. Embassy and the Saudi Arabian Embassy. And the reason that the arrangement came up even is due to the fact of their leadership in Saudi Arabia. These are things I had to kind of learn, but they are lifting the veil over in that country as we speak. They have a new prince, and this was our trip went earlier this year. So, you know, the political climate was a little bit different early in the year than it is right now. But back then, you see, they wanted to kind of change things over there. Their new leadership wanted women especially to be able to go out in public and to drive cars and to go see things in public places, movies, listen to music. These are things that couldn't happen before. It's hard for us to imagine here in the United States, but in fact, that was the situation. Those things were changing. They wanted to bring over music. And when they began to look and explore what kind of music they wanted to have, because they hadn't had public performances in Saudi Arabia for almost 50 years. Brulé was one of the first three to perform publicly in Saudi Arabia in 47 years. So they wanted a certain kind of music. I don't think they were interested in mainstream American pop or other styles. I think they were looking for something that had some sort of, I don't know, cultural or spiritual connection, I can only assume. But anyway, Brulé was selected out of, you know, thousands of different entertainers that could have come over. And so we accepted the invitation wholeheartedly. Now, the experience itself, Lori, was just off the chart. The one thing that I like to say before I go on is just the immense respect and the perception of the American, Native American culture and how it's had to adapt over the years here in America and how we still kind of struggle and how America has gone through her growing pains with the indigenous people. That's highly recognized over there. So there's a great admiration for the culture. Really, it's something that caught us totally by surprise, and not that we don't see that here in the United States, but it's just augmented and amplified, you know, 100-fold.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the women in the group then performing, because as you say, you know, this is an initiative too, to say women can come see these performances maybe for the first time in their lives, and they're seeing you playing the flute, dancing, performing in this way. That has to be a pretty heady experience.
That is a very big deal, and you hit the nail on the head. That was the biggest, probably the biggest impact of the whole tour. We had several performers in our group. My daughter, she's our lead instrumentalist, Nicole, and she plays the flute. And then our granddaughter, our oldest granddaughter, who's 21 now, is our choreographer and a traditional dancer. She dances jingle dress and fancy shawl, and she's also a contemporary dancer, jazz dancer as well. But there you had two women who were in, because here's the perception from the Saudi Arabian side. Not only were they allowed to come and see this performance, but here's two women on a stage that are in positions of leadership. Right. They're the focal point. You know, Nicole, being the lead instrumentalist in our group, is in the center of the stage. She's out front and center. Yeah. And women have never seen, several generations of women over there have never seen that. Yeah. So it was, I think it was very positive for them to see that kind of role model. I think it was good for them to see the performance and to see that our group, coming from a different country, have placed women in those positions of leadership, especially artistically and musically. And what I remember most when I think about it, the dust still hasn't settled, but the girls in the show, they were just mobbed. The young girls just clung to, like, Nicole and Jade, and I mean, they just hardly would let them go. Yeah. I think it was almost a little life-changing experience, and that was on both sides,
right?
For us as well.
Which is the best kind of cultural exchange.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's play a little bit more from the program. This is Little Drummer Boy from Blue Love. LaRush, he is founder and producer of Brulé. You can find them online, brulerecords.com. And the historic Orpheum Theater welcomes their Christmas production December 21st and 22nd. Paul, tell me, during a musical piece like that, what's happening visually during something like that so that people can have, we're on the radio. If they go to their website, you're going to see the colors and the movement and everything, the excitement. Can you describe it?
Sure. I'll give it my best shot anyway. But I think our live performance is a kind of a unique hybrid. Not totally unique, but there's several elements that are very important in our shows. And we've come to just, this has developed on a natural, through a natural process over the years. But obviously there's music. There's the dance element. So that's not that unusual. But we use traditional American Indian dance, and that's a delicate area as well. We also use contemporary dance, so there's a blending of contemporary and traditional dance, and music is also traditional and contemporary, so there's four different things happening at that time, at one time. And then we have the storyline, which brings in a little bit of the classic American Broadway musical. So there's a musical part to the performance that is story, and it's verbalized, and that combination is very powerful when you can induce the spoken word along with music and dance. And of course, last but not least, is the visual part in terms of digital projection. So we have digital images on stage as well as the live performance. And the whole thing comes together, and it does carry the overtones of the Native American culture the whole time. And so there's an educational component to the whole thing.
You have done so much for the arts and humanities in South Dakota. We talked a little bit about partnerships with South Dakota Public Broadcasting and your devotion to that sort of model of serving people. Let's talk a little bit about the connection that you have with audience members in a live performance and sort of the surprising ways that that connection unfolds.
Well, thank you. That's a great question, and it allows me an opportunity to talk a little bit about, I think, the most important element of all in what we're trying to do, and that's the healing process and the reconciliation part. I think the show itself, the onstage performance, is really the part that I hope this works, but that's the part where you can capture the attention of your audience. And we certainly hope they enjoy the performance. We've come to believe that that is the case, having 25 years to do this. But the real magic kind of takes place after the performance and in the immediate minutes and hours after the show. Of course, we always do lengthy meet and greets, but it might be the days after a performance or the time in between when we get a chance to talk to somebody about this just off the street. And here's what I like to say. I think this is very important to be able to at least talk about this a little bit. But here we are right in the state of South Dakota, one of the highest per capita when it comes to tribal communities. And that gives us here in this state an opportunity to do some things culturally that maybe wouldn't happen in other parts of the country. My belief is South Dakota has a great and very rich natural resource in its Native American culture that still has yet to be kind of brought out and put to its full capabilities. But we're getting there, and things are changing, and it's for the better a little at a time. But I think at the conclusion of a performance, you know, whatever the audience or the individual has taken from that show, and it's usually something pretty positive, that allows us to meet face to face. And when our non-Native audience and our tribal audience comes together after the show, just the simple gesture of shaking a hand, if you think about that, is part of that healing process. And we see many times people that'll break down for just a moment after a hug or a handshake, because to them, it's been more than just seeing a little entertainment. It's been a chance to think about what maybe how they've perceived the Native American culture or a thought process they've had. And maybe something has transformed or changed during that performance. And now that comes to the surface, and that handshake is like an olive branch. It allows that individual to release that and to let the healing take place. And so I always say here in America, the healing process between our cultures, which is still needed and at work, but it is at work and it is moving along, and it's well underway.
Something happens during the artistic expression that you don't necessarily have control of. You sort of get out of the way of, because you might look out in the audience and realize that you're opening a door for someone, and you don't know what that door is for that individual. That's art, yeah?
It is art. And humility is a big component, I think, to when it comes right down to it. We as artists have to realize that, you know, if we produce a song, or, you know, I consider myself a songwriter, but just average at best. And I always say that I don't believe I write that tune. Mm-hmm. That tune comes from another place that is given to us to use for a brief moment. And if we use it in a good way and release it and put it out there for other individuals, you know, some great things can be done. So I never claim total ownership of a tune or a piece of music. I realize there is a higher power at work. I think most of us, probably all of us in the arts, realize that we're just part of that process, some kind of conduit. Yeah. Perhaps at best is the way to describe that.
What's next for Brulé? What are the other places that you have connections that you want to explore after the holiday? I mean, maybe that's hard to think about when you're in the middle of December. But
well, we've never run out of things that are on the table or the next step. And I'd like to mention this a little bit here today, and thank you for the opportunity. We'll continue to perform as much as we can, travel wherever we've been invited to. But we've also have another mission that's surfaced, and it's really come up in the last 10 years. And we've been provided this wonderful opportunity to travel the country and to go to the international venues. And we've seen a lot. But, Lori, there's one particular venue, part of the world it's been the most difficult to get to. And ironically, it's our own Indian reservations. It's the area that needs the most work when it comes to the inspiring of the young people, working with the elders. That audience has probably been overlooked, not only by mainstream America, but in some ways by us as well. And our efforts to get out there and open the doors for the culture and to make a mark, you know, for Native America, we've kind of neglected our own needs back home. But we've known about it for a long time. There is no infrastructure. If you think that there's tough management support and label support for an underground group like Brulé, think about bringing a Brulé back through the reservations. There's some support through the arts programs, but it's limited, you know, as we all know. So trying to get a tour put together for the reservations is almost impossible. We started a little foundation here 5 years ago called Following the Seventh Direction, and our hope and our dream is that it'll become a USO-type tour for Native American reservations, so we can get back out there, primarily so we can get in front of the kids. They need to see this. They need to be inspired. There's a lack of inspiration, hope on the reservations. And, you know, not to bring up the negative, but it is a true statistic that the Native American reservations here in South Dakota, North Dakota, probably northern Minnesota, have the highest teen suicide rates per capita of anywhere in the country. We have to get in there and try and work on that. Now, we're just artists and musicians and performers, but I believe that we can make a small dent with the arts. So we're going to concentrate quite a bit of our efforts in the future on that particular project.